T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's OMF on EEI.
And this hour of OMF brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Celebration Event. 617-779-7937. We are now just 9 days away from a very significant NFL draft for your New England Patriots. To the phone calls we go. Here's Mo in Springfield. Hello, Mo.
Hey, guys. Thanks for always taking my call. I love your show. I just wanted to say that last time I called in, I said Mac Jones at 15, and Christian was not having it, so I'm not going to suggest that again. I think Mac Jones, if they don't trade up, he'll be off the board. I'm thinking Micah Parsons pick 15. And also, the point I wanted to make was I think the Patriots have too many picks. They don't have enough room on their 53-man roster for rookies coming up here, so I think they should trade up for players like Najee Harris or Kellen Mond early second round. What do you guys think?
Okay, so the Mac Jones thing. So you wanted to hit the Patriots to take him 15th.
Yeah.
That's right, but you were not having it. You do not like Mac Jones.
I don't. But, I mean, hell, it's better than people thinking that he's going to go 3. I just think...
If he can't play
in the league and he's overrated because he's playing with great personnel at Alabama, whether you draft him at 3 or 15, it's still a mistake.
I'm still a no. I'm defense. I am aggressive defensive end, tackle somebody on the defensive side of the football, and because I'm in no hurry, I can still win
Micah
11
Parsons
games.
For you?
I love Micah Parsons, but I don't know if he'll be available at 15.
Well, I just did a mock draft, and it worked out. It worked out.
Attaboy, Mo.
Good job, Mo.
Yeah. Is that
Everybody's got a mock draft.
I was just curious if that's like 1.0, or is he up to 7.0? Like, if it's...
Yeah. Mo, you should send that out. Let me see how people respond.
Why is it 1.0, 2.0? Why isn't it 1.0, 1.1, 1.2?
1.2, right.
1.3.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to know who his most underrated player is coming out of the draft.
Ooh.
Who's the steal
sleeper?
Of the draft?
I want to
see the steal. Who's the steal of the draft?
Whoever Bill takes in the second round.
Yeah.
David's driving around out in the Mass Pike. Hi, David.
Hello there. Hello. I'm trying to find the word that describes Bill Belichick, the historian, that would never find a sixth-round draft pick in the draft that it was getting to where it's got him. I mean, is it skepticism? Is he biased? Is he jaded? I mean, it's like I think he thinks it's going to happen organically. He's going to find a quarterback, and they're just going to kind of, grow within the system and become and get him to where he needs to go.
I don't think that's necessarily it, and I don't think he's dumb or naive enough to think that he can draft somebody in the sixth round and it can become Tom Brady again. I think what he's looking at is there are 5 guys that are going to go off the board fairly early in this draft, all at that one position. All right? All 5 are not going to succeed. Matter of fact, it could be that 3 or 4 of them fail miserably, and there are going to be a bunch of other players that they regard as guys that can make Pro Bowls for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Those guys are a more sure thing. I think in the first round, he's going to take the sure thing.
Yeah, thanks,
Lou,
David.
I think Lou was saying, top draft pick quarterbacks.
Yeah, he doesn't value quarterbacks. And I go back to that story. I think it was Wickersham. Few years back, where somebody in the building, Patriots, whatever, anonymous coach, whatever, felt like they can win with mediocre quarterback play. And I don't think they can. And I still think they feel that way. And maybe it'll take 2 or 3 or 4 years to figure it out. And then they'll realize why teams are, you know, are a little bit more desperate. You know, why teams are trying to upgrade quarterbacks? So why teams are giving up the farm to move up in the draft to try to grab a talented guy? He doesn't realize that yet. I think he'll see it. I mean, he's a great coach. Part of it's like maybe it's ego, whatever. Like, he can just coach up anybody and win. I think he's finding out that he can't. And I think Cam Newton this year was sort of like, should have been obvious to everybody, but instead you're hearing, well, I didn't put the talent around Cam. So he still thinks he can win with Cam. You know, because he can keep the game close and outcoach the other manager or head coach, whatever. But he can't.
So let me answer this.
There's a ceiling on his football team because of his quarterback.
Okay, so I was going to ask this before we broke, but let me get to it now.
Go ahead.
Okay, so do you think this is their window of opportunity? Do you think this draft, the 2021 draft, number 15, all the ducks are lined up in a row?
I think it's the best chance you got.
The window is open. Better fly through it. If you don't, oh, no. Just years and years of mediocrity. That's what you seriously believe?
No, I think it's the best chance you got of moving up and getting a highly regarded quarterback in a draft. Yes.
Man, I don't know about that. A highly regarded. See, that's where I think you lose me.
Well,
highly regarded.
What if they, you keep talking about
if it
the
were Trevor Lawrence, I would agree.
You keep talking that's your opinion. I mean, I don't know. What if they're like Mel Kiper and they think Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in the draft and he's sitting there at 7 and they think he's the second best quarterback in the draft?
Well, then
wouldn't
I think
you want them to go get him?
I think they will go for him.
Okay,
if that's
so that's
the case.
That's all
I think
I'm
they will
saying.
Go for him.
That's all I've been saying.
I don't think
they should draft the fifth best quarterback in the draft that I don't think will be any good in this league.
I want him to give me a future
here. Give me some hope.
I think we have a tendency, though, and maybe even more so this year, it becomes very, very difficult to get a great read on somebody like a Trey Lance and some of these other guys because of the COVID and because of, you know, lack of games or opt-outs or whatever. And I think that puts even more doubt in them. And I just don't think they're going to take that gamble in the first round. There's too many questions with these quarterbacks. Really are.
Yeah.
Other than Lawrence, there are too many questions. Tony's in Bridgewater. Tony, hey, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, you got to listen to Lou a little more.
Oh, no.
Tony.
This isn't 1995 where the quarterback has to sit for 5 or 6 years. Look at Herbert. Look at Burroughs. These kids come in. A lot of the college ball is based on the pro right now. You keep saying you're like a – I don't understand you. You're like every there's a question on every quarterback every year, but you can't be afraid. You got to dip your toe in there, and this is the opportunity to do it. You're not going to be drafted 15th, hopefully,
for
the next 4 years.
That's what you're going to get.
You can't. No, you're not, because how do you know this, Glenn? How do you know this that they're going to get him? You're going to hold on.
I just think that's what they're doing right now. I think what they're doing right now is they have a Cam into a holding spot. And as Curran pointed out, and a lot of other people have pointed out, they're not paying him anything. So it's obvious that they're not looking at him as the definitive starter. They're going to create a competition. And I think they're looking at San Francisco saying, we know what they're going to do. And they're not going with Jimmy G.
It's not a definite. You're in a good spot.
Nothing is
right
a definite, Tony. Tony, like, they're working day to day. Nothing's a definite.
All right.
The five quarterbacks are not a definite.
No, ABC, anybody but Cam. You're telling me that the fifth or sixth best quarterback in this draft is not better than Cam Newton?
Next year? I don't know about that.
I'm not drafting the fifth, sixth.
Did you see the guy throw the ball last year? Nobody could be as bad as Newton was.
All right. See, that's what it is, though. It's all about we want nothing to do with Cam Newton. So just give us hope. Draft any one of these kids. We haven't seen an awful lot of these kids. But
they ain't never seen this Cam.
But you know what? We see their name out there, and people seem to regard them, you know, and he's right. Quarterbacks are playing earlier now in the league. Teams are taking a risk, but they're also losing a lot of games with these quarterbacks. But they're willing to do it right now. Sam Darnold with the Jets. Put him on the Jets. Give him an opportunity. Here, it's your position. You own it. And what happens? To some of them, they don't make it.
I've kind of softened on the Cam. I guess maybe because I'm just more evolved than you, Glenn, and I've been in the acceptance
you're still
level.
Acceptance? I'm not
yeah,
there.
I mean, because, you know, we mentioned Curran a little bit earlier, and I do think, you know, based on what he's hearing and, you know, as far as what the quarterback situation is going to be like, and I think nobody's got more power right now than Curran. I mean, with the whole uncharacteristically aggressive thing, listen,
he's been right on.
He's been tied in for years, but that was a big hit.
Thanks, bro.
That was like a lottery ticket right there. And because he undersold it, in my opinion. So now, to me, the based on the contract, Cam Newton's age, I don't need somebody to tell me what he thinks is going to happen. Like, I know what's going to happen because I was the older guy in the same position. It's your job to lose. It is your job to lose.
So
you're going in, you're here, you're in the city, you're going to work, right? Everybody else around the league is, not going to voluntary practices and meetings, but you're there.
Right.
You're there every day.
I was just going to bring that up, Christian, because we saw a lot of that the veteran players are not going to go to the voluntary workouts, and they're being told by the Players Association, nah, don't go there. You shouldn't do that. Notice Cam showed up. Now, I know he gets a $100,000 bonus for doing that, but why do you think Cam Newton showed up? Because he knows, based on his contract that he signed with only $3.5 million of that contract guaranteed, he needs to be there every single day. He is fighting for a starting spot right now. He knows that they're looking elsewhere. Knows it.
Yeah.
It's calculus.
I just think it's the draft.
He wants to make sure they don't change the offense.
It's the draft that they're looking at, and I think we went out and got Cam Newton. I think Bill thinks he can win with him. Cam Newton is your starting quarterback.
He also thinks he can do better and he can win a couple more games.
I think Bill realizes that his roster was down, and if you give me a good roster and Cam Newton, I can win with him. I will show you that. And I think the cheap dollars. Because Cam was willing to accept it. He didn't want to wait 86 nights or whatever the hell it was. And, oh, by the way, we got to spend a lot of money for this roster right now. So they don't look at it as, I just signed a backup quarterback. No, I got a cheap starting quarterback, and I can spend my money elsewhere. I got a guy that's willing to accept this offer right now. Perfect. And, oh, by the way, I can win with him. I'll show you.
What did you think of Cam
Newton?
And
we'll see.
What did you think of Cam Newton last year?
Doesn't matter what I think of Cam Newton. I thought he sucked. But what does Bill think about him?
Do you really think that Bill is buying
all
this?
Does Bill think about him the way you do?
The way I do?
Yeah.
I think Bill looks at him and says,
so he signed Bill a guy, likes, gave $3.5 million, and he thinks he sucked?
Here's what I think Bill likes about
him. Bill thinks he's good.
Bill likes his leadership ability.
Whatever.
He likes the fact that he's personable with these other players, and these other players listen to him. And Bill knows that that's something with Tom Brady gone, and that's why the McCourtys and the Slaters were really important for him to hold on to those guys. He needs that right now.
So you think he gave him $3.5 million guaranteed to be a clubhouse leader and not play?
No, to get through the free agency, to get a quarterback on his roster and a guy that he looks at and says,
worst case scenario, we can win seven games.
I mean, right. But the point
exactly.
is that Bill does
We've
not.
We've already shown that
Bill does not think Cam Newton's play like we looked at Cam Newton's play, or he wouldn't have signed him.
You don't think so?
Or he wouldn't have signed him.
No.
But he can't throw anymore.
Wait.
Why would you sign a guy that can't throw anymore?
See, I think you're wrong on that.
I think he thinks he's good. He can win with him.
No. I don't think so.
So he signed a guy that can't throw a football?
No, I think, we're going into the, I don't think he's an, forget about, I don't want to keep saying he can't throw. He's not, I don't think he's a good passer.
Not an NFL quarterback
throw. I don't think he can pass the ball, but he's very limited.
Yeah, just like Mutt can throw a baseball, but not like at any level.
We'll get to that later on.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're so passionate for actually forgetting what I'm talking about. But hold on. No, I think he's a realist in the end, just like Cam says he is.
And
Cam's a realist. Cam understands. He's denying it. He's living in imagination land. He knows what the writing on the wall says. He reads it every single day. And every time he gets a deposit or he looks at his bank account and he realizes what he's getting paid compared to other quarterbacks, he understands this is his final lap. That's it. You're not getting another chance. And Bill knows it too. And you could say, so if Bill really thinks he's great, he's like, man, I took advantage of this guy. I mean, I just took advantage of him, right? He's got no other suitors. He was desperate. I signed up to a cheap salary because he had no other choices.
He once told me when I asked him how excited he was to get Antonio Brown, he said, Lou, I'm excited about everybody we sign.
Yeah, Lou, we'll do what's best for the football
team. I think everybody we sign is good. He thinks Cam Newton's good. He thinks Cam Newton can win him ball games.
Good in what sense?
Good enough he'll outcoach the hell out of somebody. Yeah,
good. That's the point where he's not going to try to get better.
But you don't sign
good
players
enough.
If you don't think they're any good. He's good
enough.
I'll win with him.
This is the best option I have.
We don't think he's good enough. We don't think he can throw a football at that level anymore. Bill thinks differently. Because if he didn't, he never would have given him even $3.5 million guaranteed.
No, he's thinking today. He needed a quarterback on the roster, and he figured maybe half of this is paying him for last year, you know, getting him through last year. But I think if Bill can improve at that position, he will do it in a heartbeat. Oh. And that's why Jimmy Garoppolo is an improvement. He's just waiting to see how it falls in San Francisco.
When does Bill ever say, hey, thanks for last year? Here's $3.5 million.
Well, maybe
really? No, I'm going to release you a year too early rather than a year too late. Remember that whole thing? Now we're going to give him presents?
Maybe he's kinder than you think. Here's John in Fall River. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
So I'm thinking they're going to draft the quarterback late, and I think it's going to be the kid from Mississippi State. KJ Castillo, transfer over from Stanford.
What do you have him in your mock draft?
About round number 4.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
We'll throw it out to
thank
Mel
you for
Pepper.
Listening.
See if he wants to.
That's like tier 4 of quarterbacks. Good.
Here's the key.
I love this. I love the week
good
of the draft.
Good enough.
Yeah, I tell you. I good tell you.
Everybody's enough. Got their Listen, pick. Everybody's
this
got their
wide
guy.
Receiver nobody's talking about, right? He plays up at Oregon. I watched like 2 games. I tell you, this dude is a perfect fit. And
Oregon,
I already did a
Oregon
good 3 cone drill.
Oregon. Like,
yeah, I can't wait. I love draft week because they got to go get this linebacker down in Texas. I don't know if you've seen him or not, but he's a monster. He's going to be great. Just names out
Nobody's
of nowhere.
Nobody's even heard of him before.
Grab the quarterback from Mississippi State in the 4th round. Guy can sling it.
There's a guy that got kicked out of school.
I'm telling
he
you.
He went to Northeast Louisiana State. He's a bag of groceries right now at a Stop and Shop.
There's a kid in Division Two. No, in Division Two, he's a safety. His name is Duggar. He hits like a freaking train. I'm telling
how'd
you.
Work out?
I saw a game one time. Fordham was playing Springfield International. Wasn't quite as funny.
He's evolving. He's evolving.
It's exactly what happens, though. You know, people go on the internet and they see all these names. They go, oh, my God, that name. Oh, that guy. Look at the guy's size. Look at his 40. All right, 617-779-7937. I want to get to Peter Schrager because he has an interesting pick for New England in his latest mock. More of your phone calls as well right here on OMF. All right, back here.
Straight
cats. Draft coming up in 9 days. Everybody's got their mock draft out there. Who doesn't have a mock draft? I mean,
I don't have a mock draft.
You don't?
Mm-hmm.
Should we have one?
Any of these guys have you actually seen? Well, a lot of the callers are calling up. They have their own mock draft. You should put one together.
We should. Well, we should do what Mel Kiper and McShay did. We should we should play GM and just go back and forth.
What happened to your chicken idea? That was a good idea.
Yeah, I got.
You don't want to do that.
I didn't like the
insurance.
Didn't really realize what it would take to have a chicken that he would have to be responsible for.
No.
If we killed the chicken in the studio, could you imagine
some
Peter
issues.
Would be all over his score?
Wait, why couldn't we kill the chicken?
I like the 3GM kind of thing because especially when it's my turn, I'm going to give up 5 future firsts and move on.
Oh my God! Oh boy, are we going to take advantage of you?
I'll give Jacksonville the next 10 years, first round, second.
What do I care?
You know who you are?
It's like Madden.
You
just sort of unplug it and start a new team.
And I tell you who
Once you
are.
Once you get the player,
you know,
play with them for
if you were in this position, you're Mike Ditka. You're trying to get Ricky Williams. You're going to give away every single pick you have in the draft to draft a running back.
I am identifying the best quarterback in this draft, not named Lawrence or I guess Wilson. And I'm doing everything I can to get him. Because when he becomes exactly what I think he is, nobody's going to remember what I gave up.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to remember it.
You couldn't even. I don't even think.
Nobody's going to remember what Kansas City gave up to get Mahomes.
The Jets. Let's just say you're not going to get Jacksonville's number one pick, but the Jets the San Francisco 49ers wouldn't even do that deal with
Niners
you. The Niners would not sit there and say, okay, give me all your draft picks. I'll give you the 3rd pick.
Yeah, no, Niners would.
Nobody would do that draft.
Draft day trade, like the movie. So they move up to 3, and then they scout them all, realize they don't really like any of those 3 enough to the point where they're actually in business to trade out of it.
So how about this one? Peter Schrager's got his latest mock. Everybody's got a mock draft. And he does indeed have the Patriots moving up using Philadelphia's pick.
Nice.
And moving up to number 12.
Nice.
Not to take a quarterback, though.
What do you mean?
Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner. The receiver out of Alabama. So I don't want to sit here and play like some of these callers. I know this guy, that guy. I've seen him, obviously, a few times.
Well, Bill's got
Alabama.
A good track record with wide receivers.
Does anybody have a question about his 170 pounds soaking wet and playing in the National Football League? where there are a lot of big dudes that are pretty quick. Anybody questioning that?
You know, a lot's been made of his just how slim he is.
Slim. He's really thin.
He's not.
It's like little like stick legs.
Yeah, but listen, I don't know. I mean, he seemed like he was fine. Yeah, I mean, seemed like he was fine.
Well, that's the SEC, Glenn. That's not college. That's a pro football minor league system. That's what that is.
If he doesn't trade up to get a quarterback, then just go defense. How do you think Devontae Smith's going to look next year with Cam Newton throwing a ball at his ankles?
Oh, my God. He'd be begging for Mac Jones.
Huh? And we're going to be sitting there talking about another bust. And we have a guy that's going to come here that's going to be so deep in his own dome, because even when he runs the right route, he still doesn't have a quarterback that can throw it to him. So he starts losing confidence. We start writing articles about how they can't draft a wide receiver and this kid sucks, when in reality, you got a quarterback that's throwing it 10 feet above him or just bouncing one hoppers. You might as well go sign a shortstop out of LSU or something like that. Doesn't play wide receiver. He's good on one hoppers. But no, go defense. If you don't go quarterback, go defense. That's what I would say. Go now, defense.
I think you have a better shot of getting a defensive player than you do a quarterback, Lou. I hate to say it, but I think that's where it's going to go. Here's Paul. Paul's in Westfield. Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon,
hello, Paul.
Gentlemen.
Go ahead, Paul.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you? And
what's
happy
up?
Happy Patriots Day.
Yep.
Happy 420.
Happy 420.
420.
Get to that, Christian.
Yes, sir. From a criminal calamity to booming business. Hey, I love your after COVID analysis, because there's something clear about what you're saying, though. He wasn't throwing the ball well. And this is a much more, I think, serious, realistic point no one seems to have brought up. I think it was the sixth game Cam had as many rushing touchdowns as Herschel Walker. And the way he is on fourth and short, and the way he generally is able to run and get short gains, that style, which causes a high injury rate, that's the reason we absolutely have to have a backup quarterback. And I think Professor Barrett said it best. We're trying to aim for someone that's tall and large like Elway. The way that Chargers picked up that quarterback, the way that he turned out to be, what he is in the future, if we can have that with Cam, that's really the 1-2 punch that's necessary to complete.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like the whole idea of having two
completely lost by who? Dr. Who? Dr. Barrett?
I had no idea.
Who's Dr. Barrett? Okay, keep going.
Somebody with a mock draft, I'm sure. Eric's in New Hampshire. Eric?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime, Eric. Snob.
I'm sorry, Lou?
No, I'm saying New Hampshire. We'll get to that, too. You're snobs up there.
Okay. If you think that Bill Belichick is going to trade up and draft a quarterback,
yes,
you're drinking whatever Jamarcus Russell drank, drank. There's no chance he does that, and I'll tell you why. He's so stubborn that he cast the die last year with Cam Newton. He heard the whispers that he needed to get more weapons. He heard everybody talking about it. Mm. He went out and got weapons. I mean, if you want to call Kendrick Bourne a weapon, so be it. But there's no chance he moves up and drafts another quarterback. That's just my opinion.
Can we have squares? Can we do a draft night squares, like, kind of thing, like they do during the Super Bowl? Because the amount of opinions that exist with this draft is like nothing I've ever seen before.
Lou's going to be miserable next Friday. Miserable.
I could just, like, if we did do the whole,
Bill
like, you know,
when Bill drops down in the draft and trades out.
I would say this. If I was betting, a betting man, and I was actually putting money in the draft, of course I wouldn't bet the long shot. I mean, maybe because if I get good odds, is that Bill would trade up for a quarterback. I mean, the obvious is that he trades back because a linebacker or a corner slip that he thinks he can get later, or, you know, the highest odds got to be trading up to 6, 7, or 8 to get a quarterback. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think we live in a dream world to think that this team can just start winning football games and be what everybody wants them to be with Cam Newton or with Jimmy or with Mariota, or for some fourth-round pick, because one out of every 25, 30 of them are actually good. Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, good. Okay, you want to talk about how many other second, third, fourth-round picks, quarterbacks that are no good? We can do that. We can go right down the list. Some very small percentage. Maybe you get lucky again. If I'd put money on it, of course not. It's what I want, though.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to find anybody this year that's going to propel them into the Super Bowl conversation. It's not going to happen. Can they get somebody better than Cam Newton? Yes. Will they? Yes, they will. Here's Demetrius.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Good. somebody that I'm, like, real surprised is not getting enough consideration is Kyle Trask. He had Heisman candidates, votes, and everything. I mean, put up great numbers at Florida with bums at wide receiver, pretty much only Kyle Pitts out there. And I feel like
second round wide receiver,
perfectly.
Tony. You got an NFL wide receiver, too, and Tony.
Yeah, I mean, who's he playing for right now? Antonio Callaway is not on any team. He got cut by the Dolphins, who needed all the wide receiver help in the world.
Who?
See, no, the Kyle Trask thing, the Kyle Trask opinion, he's in I would say he's not in the first tier. He could possibly be a second tier, depending on what your first tier looks like. But for me, he's one of those fifth round guys. Fifth round, not that he's, but when it comes to other needs and other, he's a fifth round type of guy, which isn't, I mean, maybe on a good day, he's a fourth round pick. But he's not anywhere in the same class as those other guys.
No, I would agree. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't talking about Antonio Callaway. I was talking about he's got other wide receivers that he had there. It wasn't just Pitts. That I think one of them, I forget, I think his name is Tony. Supposed to be
Kadarius,
like
Tony, yeah.
Yeah, second
freak
second,
athlete.
Freak athlete. Second round pick. Like, he's like an NFL wide receiver. He says he's got no wide receivers. So he's pretty good. But who am I?
All right, Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. Alex Cora has not yet cleared to manage the Red Sox tonight due to COVID-19 protocols. He's hoping to make it on time. You didn't spend any close proximity time.
Maybe I should take off.
Cora. No, man.
My guess is that it is a, it's a, what do they call that when it comes back?
Close
inconclusive.
Contact. Oh, inconclusive.
That would be my guess, right? Inconclusive. Hasn't been cleared yet. Maybe hasn't been cleared yet. You know,
he got a shot. He got his other one.
Got his first one.
Oh, I thought he got his second one also. No, so he's got one vaccination done.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, it's probably inconclusive. We had a lot of that stuff happen in Minnesota. It's been kind of going around. Inconclusive. We'll see. I don't know. Probably get another one back.
All right, we'll stay on top of it. We don't talk an awful lot of soccer in this program, as you probably know. But there is a major story breaking right now in Europe, and there are people that are furious. Have you seen that some non-Globe readers are pissed at John Henry, or even some Red Sox fans are pissed at John Henry? You should hear the people in Liverpool. But there is a breaking story. We get to it. A little bit of soccer coming up next.
Keep up with Glenn on Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
That fat guy in the radio is crazy. He's out of his freaking mind.
We return to OMF on WEEI.
Good thing we've got Christian Fourier, a soccer insider. Knows the game inside and out, everything that's going on. Because we're going to need it right now.
Megan Rapinoe, probably the one sport that I think I actually don't know anyone over the age of 10. Diego Fagundes. If you're a Foxborough Warrior, soccer player, you probably know.
There you go.
Probably well involved.
So yes. Let's give you the story is breaking right now, but let's give you the background on all of this. So over the weekend, 12 of the world's biggest soccer clubs unveiled a plan to launch what they called a Super League. So it'd be a closed competition, big extended tournament or league games in which they would compete against one another while claiming even more of soccer's billion dollars in revenue. So each team would stand to gain around $400 million guaranteed to establish the secure financial foundations. And then on top of that, when you get to the broadcast rights and the commercial income, billions and billions of dollars. So it was all about money. So what happened? Well, right away, the soccer fans of each one of these clubs started screaming and yelling. And John Henry was getting the backlash from the Liverpool fans. And just like this, in the last hour, two of those clubs who joined the Super League, Chelsea and now Manchester City, have already begun the process of pulling out of the European Super League. They can't handle the backlash from their fan base.
Not surprised at all. We think that we're passionate about sports here. Just Boston. Forget about other cities. Just Boston. We think we're passionate. It pales in comparison to these psychos out there that are following these guys playing soccer. Oh, sorry. Football.
Football.
Football. It's totally different.
It is insane. It's Obviously, Liverpool, there's a local connection here with John Henry, but Arsenal, Chelsea's one of the other teams with Man City that kind of is bailing out. Man U, they're in it. I mean, Barcelona, Real Madrid, AC Milan, Inter, like it's like the, all the big teams. They've come out and said that, you know, if this league happens, none of the players will be allowed to play in the World Cup.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That hostage.
So Man City and Chelsea are out. So everyone keeps talking about, oh, this league didn't even last. You know, I don't know. Do they just try to bring in other teams? But I think it was the Man U, the chairman, I was just telling you, he resigned out of all like the controversy. Like it's almost like if you're a guy like Liverpool, right? If you're John Henry and you sit there now and you see what's going on and you're sort of late to the party and you say, you know what, we were just kidding. You know, we'll back out too.
Hi.
They'll be like, you know what? Go screw. Just for even thinking about doing this, get the hell out of here, you foreigner. Get out of here. Sell the damn team, right? Like everybody. It's almost like even like Chelsea, Man City, I'm sure they're excited they're back in, but they're probably pissed at them for even thinking about doing this.
Well, like, it's going to
take
money,
a while. Yeah.
Right, because all these smaller clubs in the league that they're playing in, they're in the UK, are getting nothing. We're getting nothing out of it. Matter of fact, they were going to get far less right now. This was going to take over. It is unbelievable that they put it together this weekend. It was announced on Sunday night. And here we are on Tuesday. It is already falling apart. So what does John Henry do? Does he pull Liverpool out of this thing? What does he do?
I mean, was it his idea? That's the question I ask.
Well, the interesting thing is a lot of the owners here are from the States.
What a surprise. What a surprise. And you do think they're happy about that?
Europeans?
Yeah.
I think that might be a little
couple
biased,
of Yanks yeah. are trying to ruin our football tradition.
All right.
It's a terrible accent. I know. I suck at it. No, I'm not surprised. And so, again, it's just follow the money.
Well, let me give you the emotion of it. This is Gary Neville, former Man U defender. He's current Sky Sports analyst. Listen to this.
Well, the reaction to it is that it's been damned, and rightly so. I mean, I'm a Manchester United fan and have been for 40 years of my life, but I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted. I'm disgusted with Manchester United and Liverpool most. I mean, Liverpool, they pretend, you know, you'll never walk alone, the people's club, the fans' club. Manchester United, 100 years, born out of workers around here, and they're breaking away into a league without competition that they can't be relegated from. Enough is enough.
I love that. I love the way they work it. Because if you suck, you're out of the league. They kick you out. You play.
You go to the lower level.
You go to the lower level, right? Because isn't it the Champions League, right?
Yeah, that's
where all the good guys, all the good teams play. Can you imagine if the United States did that? Imagine if the NFL, the NBA, and they said, you know what? We're sick of this. Like, okay, so we're Dallas, we're New England, we're both LA teams, Green Bay. Chicago. You know, we're going to start our own league because we hate Buffalo. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody likes Tampa.
Please.
Okay,
we're eight team league.
We like Arizona. You can play Denver. Okay, you know, but Vegas. Yeah, Vegas. You can play too. Like, imagine they just started kicking out teams that weren't performing, or like they didn't have good ticket sales, or nobody was buying their merchandise, and here we are having to share all this stuff, and nobody even buys your stuff. So why should I sit there and allow you to benefit and make money off of all the sales that we create, even though nobody likes your team?
Yeah, no, it's that would be strange, but it would be different. It's just, listen, I'm not like involved in Premier League and Ligas and all these other things, but you're hearing some of these people talk about it, and it's like one thing that like it represents the people, right? You got to earn it, earn
the
spot.
They pretend, you know, you'll never walk alone. The people's club, the fans' club.
Yeah, and it's like you earn the spot in the Championship League. You know, maybe you get relegated, then earn your spot into the Premier League. All these things. It's all about earning your spot, accountability, and like these guys that want to put the Super League are like, no, screw it. We don't want to ever be relegated. We want to know how much income is coming in. We want to know our team's going to be in this league. We want the best matches. We want the best TV contracts. You guys, whatever. You guys deal with your own thing.
The money now.
You guys get relegated. You guys fight your ass off to get the Championships League. Whatever. The Champions League.
But it's funny.
We're not doing it.
Yeah, if you look at the Fenway Sports Group, that has been part of bringing in those limited partners, right, is that we're going to be able to have a bigger footprint with
nice job,
soccer, soccer overseas. So there's got to be pressure on John Henry today because Manchester City and Chelsea are out. And you know the fan base in Liverpool, you've already heard that they're up in arms about this.
Enough is enough.
So well, what the hell does John do?
Well, the Glazer family, obviously.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Yeah, because they own Manchester United. Buccaneers. You got Henry with Liverpool. Yeah. And I can easily see them going, you know what? This is all these stupid Americans trying to like screw up our, you know, the way we do business out here. Just with having no knowledge or having no appreciation for the past. Because that's what this guy Neville is also talking about. You know, I grew up with this club. You know, I bled for this club. We're the working man's team. You can't sit here and make this a money grab.
But I'm disgusted. Absolutely disgusted.
Yeah. So, okay. And he's not alone. This is going to get killed as quickly as it even started. It's not going to work. You think Henry has the, you know what, to kind of, you know, convince all the other clubs to kind of stick with it? Well, hey, because there's a lot of money, guys.
The problem is, I mean, you listen to some of these people like Liverpool, and it's like if John Henry comes out and says, I was just kidding. You know what I mean? Gotcha. We would never do that.
This is we call a joke in America.
Like, I think the damage is kind of already done. Just yeah, the
he'd
idea
be good at that,
of just leaving.
You know? Oh, you thought I was serious? Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, this is a red herring.
But just because I know everyone's sitting there saying the league is over, two teams are bailing. Maybe that's just the start. Maybe there's going to be more teams saying, you know,
maybe they'll get two new teams.
This is just a bad idea, you know, because it's trending right now. Rest in peace, Super League. But it's like maybe other teams will jump in, but won't they just sit there and say, okay, we're going to invite maybe a couple of other owners
yeah.
that are looking forward to making all this kind of cash. So you guys are out. Fine, no big deal. These two will jump in. I don't know. Maybe they can't get enough teams.
Let me ask you this.
I don't know if they want to do that. I don't know if they want to, because that was part of this deal, was it not? So that we don't have the smaller clubs, because they can't bring the same type of revenue that the ones that you listed down there, Lou.
Right.
These are the big clubs that have huge revenue. It's like, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox versus like the Kansas City Royals and how much money they can generate. We don't want those little teams in here anymore. Get them out of here.
But this is sort of like, you know, trading like a great young player, and then all of a sudden it falls through, and you're like, I was just kidding. We love you.
Yeah, good.
Like,
luck
you know what?
That.
We didn't. It didn't. Don't worry. But we weren't gonna trade you. Don't listen to those rumors. Don't listen to those reports. I don't know. Can you mend fences now? I think that'd be hard.
Well,
they're pissed.
The worst part about it is, in what people have characterized it as, is these are billionaires who are trying to make a lot. Billion more money off of our league.
It's what billionaires do.
Right. Like, it is what they do.
I'm just saying, you know, yeah. You already made $1 billion, for God's sakes. You want more?
Yeah, I want yes. 5 billion, see, 10 see, billion, 15
see,
billion.
Here's the thing. So, like, the Washington football team,
yeah.
if this was an NFL version, here's a team that never wins, that management sucks, but they're always in the top 5, top 10 when it comes to merchandise, ticket sales, and stuff like that. Like, they have a strong fan base, even though they suck.
Yeah.
So they would be relegated in this whole system, right? Like a very popular team that
Premier
never
League,
wins. Yeah, they would relegate them. But now it would be like, okay, listen, I don't want to be relegated anymore. I'm kind of sick of it.
Yeah.
Okay, I make a lot of money for everybody.
I don't
want to sit there and have to win games. I mean, this is stupid, okay? I'm just here to make money.
And I got to spend money on players to win games. Screw it.
Yeah, so how do you think, like, a team, like, if that was the case, if another team... Well, hell, not the Giants, but another team that had a winning record that was actually performing and was always competing, just say the Baltimore Ravens. Next thing you know, the Baltimore Ravens is like, wait, I'm not in this league? Yeah, but nobody likes your hat, man. Your logo sucks, and they'll quote the Raven nevermore. Nobody's really into it anymore. So we're going to give some of these crappier teams who can't win, we're going to give them their spot, and they're all, and then you're going to have to start your own league.
Hmm.
I'm not sure the league is going to pick up two other members or... that you're not going to see others other than Manchester City and Chelsea balking out. You're going to see more of them balking out. There's too much pressure. You're seeing it. I mean, think about this, guys. They literally have folded. Two of the teams have literally folded out of this thing within 48 hours. Within 48 hours.
Glenn, you mentioned the pressure and the backlash to these owners, and one of them obviously is John Henry. Here's the reaction from across the pond on Sky Sports. This is Graham Souness talking about the moves that John Henry has to make now with his fan base after this reaction.
Oh, boy.
No, I think he was looking for the quick buck. I think the rest of them might have been. You know, when people go into business at this level, they've got an exit strategy. And you can bet certainly Americans were looking at this. We'll remain in this new league for 2 years. Our asset will double in value and we'll get out and we'll move on to something else. But they've been found out. They've been found out. And how? Because we know, Liverpool as well as anyone, how will the Scousers take to John Henry after this? I don't know how he comes back from this.
By the way, good news, good news for Sam Kennedy. He doesn't have to worry about John Henry busting him at all this summer.
I would say John Henry's going to be at more Red Sox games this summer.
Yeah, what is that?
I'll stay over here more. Who's Liverpool's
version of Sam Kennedy? Who right now is speaking on behalf of
that
John Henry?
That poor bastard.
That guy's like, oh, crap, how do I spin this damn thing?
We are still the people's team.
Yes.
We love you.
Do not believe the news. Yeah. No, we were not looking for a quick buck. No, it's totally no.
That's bad.
We love soccer.
Yes,
it's football over here. You damn Yank.
Yeah. No, it's this is interesting because
they'll just blame LeBron.
He's part of it.
We weren't going to do this until LeBron came over and had these big ideas
about a good idea
because he built super teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he was like, you know, rather than building a super team, which I've done many times, why don't you build the super league?
Yeah, LeBron had a rough night.
Yeah. Maybe just blame him.
Well, that other group they brought in as limited partners were heavily involved in soccer, right? So maybe they were the ones that kind of said, hey, John, you got to do this. You got to get into it.
They're looking to make money. We all know that.
Yeah, but, there's one thing about expanding your business, and when you're going totally against what the fan base is saying, then you're in trouble. And you can see it already. The two of them have already bailed out. This is a monumental mistake right out of the gate.
You know,
this was something they probably should have started slowly weaning the public into over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
No?
How do you guys feel about adopting some of the rules, though?
What rules?
And putting them into incorporating the whole how you get relegated into American sports. Baseball, basketball, football.
Yeah, nothing to do with it.
No, I kind of like it.
Two leagues?
Why?
No. Yeah, it's just the fact that, all right, well, think of it as if you're an owner, if you're spending a bunch of money to have a competitive team, I mean, you should be the beneficiary of, you know, a little bit more upside than the other team that is just deciding to have an opener every single day.
Yeah, like baseball. Yeah, I mean, you look at payrolls, but then again, I mean, I don't know. Does that mean Tampa Bay is relegated because they don't spend enough
relegated.
Money and just win it
no,
every year?
No, but Oakland would win. No, Oakland would.
And then they have to come up.
They would have to come up, and they would be. Their model would still work. They're winning. But teams that don't, or how about teams that try to tank in the NBA?
Well, I
teams
think when you grow up,
try to lose.
The problem is that I think over there is like when you grow up with this, and this is the way you look at sports. It's their biggest sport, and this is the way it is. If you suck, you go down. If you're good, you get rewarded. You know, so to them, this is what sports is. So imagine, like you said, in football, if your team was really bad, like the Red Sox would be, I don't know what the hell they would do because they're in last place
last
every, like,
years.
Third year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then they go and win a World Series. But maybe, yeah. I mean, but imagining growing up like that with a sport and then all of a sudden them wanting to change it and say, no, we don't like that anymore.
You couldn't do it here in the States. You couldn't change it here in the States because they'd
be resistance.
We
can't get the mound.
People are losing their mind
back.
Over the extra runner in the seventh inning, for Christ's sake.
Well, they're talking over there about trying to cut down the time from 90 minutes. 90 minutes, which seems like it's absolutely nothing. I mean, baseball is 35% longer than that.
Eventually, sports is going to be like a 30-minute window, period.
Maybe.
The game.
But they're already talking about it because they're doing well with the older audience, but the younger audience thinks that 90 minutes is too long, apparently, for a soccer match. 90 minutes. How about a 4.5-hour baseball game? This hour of OMF brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing.